In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. After Jesus had charged into Jerusalem, if you will, he had gone into the temple and shut it down, refusing to let anyone move anything through the temple. The whole temple system had come to a screeching halt. That had caused the authorities to want Jesus dead. And last week we saw how Jesus faced their challenges, that they were asking him, by what authority do you have to do this? And they put him to the test, trying to get him trapped and killed. And we heard Jesus last week navigate that whole scenario by proclaiming the central truth of what he was there to proclaim, which was God's kingdom, the reality that everything belonged to God. And rebellious humanity was trying to steal God's world, God's creation, for themselves. The face of Jesus standing up to these challenges, the opposition was silenced. We're told they refused to ask Jesus any more questions. And so on the heels of this, we find Jesus now on one final offensive before he leaves the temple forever. So there, Jesus stands in the temple, having quieted the challenge of the opposition, and he begins to teach. And he begins with a question that cut very quickly to the heart of the matter that he was bringing before them. How can your scribes, your biblical scholars, say that the Messiah is David's son? From their position, everything that they stood for as Israel at this point revolved around their belief that David, was the one. He was the chosen one through whom his line would bring forth a Messiah. They believed that David was the example to be modeled. David was the one whose image would be imprinted upon the Messiah. They wanted a savior like David, the man who had risen to power as king over them, led them to victory against many foes. They wanted someone like David to be their Messiah. They believed the Messiah was going to be in the image. In the same way that parents have children in their image, they believed that the Messiah would be just an image, a son of David. But Jesus challenges this. How can you say that? How can your so-called biblical scholars say this? David was the man who had been praised by the crowds for killing his tens of thousands instead of just the thousands that Saul killed. The man who had seen a woman from his rooftop and said, "Her, she's mine, I want her." And then killed her husband to get her. The man who had taken over the throne of Saul, sure, by God's anointing, but had done it as a gangster, working behind the scenes, living in the caves, overthrowing Saul's power on his own might, not waiting for the Lord to provide. The man who had let the power and the wealth go to his head, the one who had wanted to build the temple. The temple was David's very project. How can your biblical scholars claim that the Messiah is supposed to be in the image of David? And Jesus quotes the Psalms to them, saying, look, David in his own prayer realizes that the Messiah is to be not his son, but his Lord. And the crowds are amazed. Who would dare challenge the image of what the Messiah was supposed to be? They all thought they understood who this Messiah was to be, what he was to be about. Like David, of course. No. Your own scriptures say he's not supposed to be like David. He's supposed to be the Lord of David. Following this, Jesus then goes on the offensive against these biblical scholars, these scribes, further. He says, beware of your biblical scholars, your so-called teachers, your pastors, your priests, your leaders, your authorities. Beware of them. They're walking around in their fancy clothes. They want all the fancy titles for themselves. They want the respect, the power, the wealth in the synagogues and the marketplaces. They want it all, just like David. These biblical scholars tell you the Messiah is supposed to look like David because they want to look like David. They want his power, his wealth, his authority, his grandeur. Beware. Beware of these biblical scholars who teach you to live and look like David. These so-called leaders of your people devour the houses of widows. God had told his people to take care of the widows, the orphans, those who were the least in the world. Take care of them. And these biblical scholars, these leaders, these authorities, these pastors, whoever they were instead taking advantage of the widows, building their wealth and their power on the backs of these poor women. So then Jesus finds himself there in the temple just watching the treasury. People coming in with their gifts for this great temple complex. Many rich people come in and give great sums of money to the temple. But here comes a lowly widow. And in she goes, and Jesus watches her take two of the smallest coins and drop them in the treasury. And then he gathers his disciples around and says, look, do you see this? This widow, I tell you, gave the greatest gift here today. All these rich people that came in with great sums of money, big deal. They gave out of their wealth and excess. Look how much they still have. Big deal. This widow, she gave it all. She gave everything she had to live on in trust that God would provide for her. That is true giving. That is true trust. And this widow is a grand example of trust in God. But notice what else is going on here. Jesus had just condemned these leaders of the people for devouring the houses of widows. And look what they're doing. The temple is taking the final scraps of her resources for itself. The temple is devouring the house of this widow as she gives everything to them. For their wealth, their power, their prestige. The temple and the priests were supposed to be giving to the widows. But here we have the widow giving everything to this power complex. They were devouring and destroying the houses of widows right in front of Jesus' face. Right on the heels of this, we now have Jesus stand up and walk out of the temple. And this is it. His final moment in the temple. He will never be in this building again. And he walks out of the temple with his disciples following him. And his disciples, looking as they leave, stare around at the grand buildings and say, teacher, look at all of this massive, beautiful structures. These stones, it's amazing what men can build. Look at the power and magnificence of this. And Jesus says to them, don't you get it? Do you see these great buildings? The temple of David that has been built on the backs of widows. Do you see this? Not one stone. Not one stone will be left on another. All of this is coming down. This is a house of injustice built on the backs of poor widows. God will dismantle this structure. He will dismantle it and tear it to the ground. Beware. Beware of the path of David is really the heart of the message of Jesus to us this morning. Beware of the path of David. The people in Jesus' day were enamored with him. His power, his wealth, his violence of destroying his enemies, his ability to build great palaces and temples. They were enamored with David. And Jesus says, beware. Beware of David. He has infected God's people. This great institution, this temple that David was his great legacy, is coming down. You may be impressed by it. You may think it's magnificent, and all that David's path and project built. But Jesus says God is going to dismantle it because it's a path of injustice. Where do we see the path of David in our world, in our lives? The fancy clothes, the titles of prestige and power, the seats of prestige in the synagogues, the churches, the political buildings. People building themselves up with wealth and power, and in the process doing it on the backs of devouring widows and orphans and the poor. Who is pushing the message of David instead of the message of the Messiah in our world? Jesus had said, beware of the biblical scholars. And I believe that's where we have to start as well. Beware of the teachers in the church. The pastors. The priests. The reverend doctors. The biblical scholars. Beware of them, Jesus says. How quickly they can take God's word and twist it for their agenda to look like David, to build up the power, the wealth, the prestige, the status for themselves on the backs of the poor. Beware of them. If you don't think Satan resides in the heart of the so-called church, you're fooling yourself. Beware of those on the inside of the church who are teaching you to follow David, not the true Messiah, Jesus. A powerful challenge to reflect on our lives and what values we have adopted. When we ourselves read and hear the scriptures, do we want to hear it through the lens of David, or are we willing to hear it through the lens of Jesus? How often we have heard a challenging word from Jesus of, say, love your enemies. And we think, well, David killed his enemies, so surely we can kill our enemies, right? Or Jesus tells us, do not amass worldly wealth. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. But David, he was wealthy. He was a man after God's own heart, right? He built a palace. He had the temple. He had all the wives, the power, right? David did it. Surely it's okay for us. David's voice is alive and well in our lives, in our churches, in our world. And how quickly we use David's voice to silence what Jesus is calling us to be and to do. Are we wanting to make Jesus in the image of David, or are we willing to let Jesus be the Lord of David? Remaking our ideas of what it means to be a true child of God, to be the real Messiah. The one who does not follow the world's projects of building wealth and power and prestige on the backs of the poor. But the one who instead humbled himself, was a servant, stripped himself of titles, stripped himself of wealth, stripped himself of power, and died trusting in his God. Hanging there on a cross, trusting that his God would come through. That no worldly power, wealth, or prestige could save him. It was God alone. The cross. Can we see the cross of Jesus and see the path of the true Messiah? Or do we still see the sword, David's path, and think that is God's path? Jesus' voice. Beware of all those who would tell you otherwise. His voice, his alone, is God's voice. Amen.